680 The Fan legal expert Ray Giudice, our 680 The Fan legal expert, joining us in the studio this morning. Ray, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
Good to see you again.
Thanks.
The NCAA now apparently is happy with the Indiana law. They've made some changes in the law. I didn't get a chance to read the law in its entirety. Can you sort of give me in a nutsack what it read, what it meant?
Well, the governor signed a law, I believe it was early this morning or late last night. I haven't read it word for word either. Apparently, there's a sort of a patch or a fix meant to address the business community and individuals in throughout the state of Indiana and across the country that the pre-existing law would be used to allow people to not, in public accommodations and restaurants, not serve or provide their product to people whose lifestyle, conduct, choices violated what they believe was their religious freedom. I mean, it's, you know, this is really murky stuff. I really thought that Governor of Arkansas, who declined to sign their bill the other day, really summed it up. And he said, look, we're at one of those inflection points in American history where there's a clash between generations and between cultures. And he said, you know, my son has asked me not to sign this bill. And he didn't sign the Arkansas bill, which I think tracks this Indiana language, and a Georgia bill died on the 31st when legislation is not passed in Georgia on the last day of the session dies, so it would have to be restarted, and there's a lot of pressure here in Georgia against that bill.
So they got the wording right, and apparently everybody's comfortable with it.
That's not correct. I'm already reading that there's all kinds of groups, okay. Angie's List and others that are saying this didn't go far enough, but perhaps the NCAA is satisfied. And again, I think, Chris, earlier this morning, yeah, the NCAA, I'm sure they have good intentions, but it's really about money with them. And if this patch solves their economic concerns, those groups are going to be fine. They're not affected. But I think other groups who have more political involvement and not as much monetary involvement may not be happy with the patch. So that's what I'm seeing.
Okay, let's move on now to a couple of other things. I wanted to get into the Hernandez mm-hmm. case. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard us talking earlier. Prosecutors called 131 witnesses since the testimony began. They've submitted hundreds of pieces of evidence, including surveillance videos from inside the Hernandez home, showing him holding a black object. They bring in a Glock specialist who attempts to identify said black object. You got a joint that was found near the body that contained DNA from both of the men. Now it goes, I guess the defense team is going to call one witness, and then it goes to the jury. Over, under, how long do you think it takes that jury to make a determination? According to what Home Team was saying, who's been on a jury, they take it very seriously.
So that's been my experience. I've picked over 250 juries in all kinds of cases, and no matter how minor, how serious the case is, jurors go back in there and collectively they take it seriously. That's been my overall experience. I've had some that I thought rushed to a judgment on a late Friday afternoon wanting to get home, but that's neither here nor there. So I think probably about 2.5 to 3 days late next week. It depends when the closing arguments and the charges from the judge are done. Could spill into the following week. Quickly, I Googled the Glock 17, which is the Glock model most favored by law enforcement. It's the most favorite Glock out there, and it's loved for its lightweight. Loaded with 15 rounds, it weighs 32 ounces, 2 pounds.
So that's a lightweight killing machine.
That's why everybody loves the Glock. It's light, it's accurate, it doesn't jam. There's a lot of reasons. But that 2.5 pounds had nothing to do with that heavy box. I mean, in other words, there's some other stuff in that box, even if it includes a gun.
She said weed.
And that's great. Now, did he, you know, people, things that people, that witnesses are lousy at are weight, time and distance, okay? And I, you know, you always have a problem with especially younger people that, oh, it was, you know, it was a long time ago. It was, you know, 30 days ago, or it was a great distance. Yeah, it was 100 yards, not 5 miles. So she's saying it was heavy. I don't know that she could lift a 40-pound box. But the point is, the Glock handgun, this model, and I'm sure they're all similar, only weighs 2.5 pounds. So if it's a big box and it's heavy from her report, it ain't only because of the gun. You see my point? There's other stuff besides prospective gun in there. And again, that's going to throw more doubt into this jury that the state did not close the circle. The reason the defense is only putting up one witness, their whole argument to the jury is the state has the burden to prove its case, every element of the indictment beyond a reasonable doubt. And they've spent 45 days and 131 witnesses, and they didn't do it, so we're not going to waste another 2 weeks of your time.
It always comes down to reasonable doubt.
That's right. They brought up a guy with a fake eye who wasn't allowed to talk about why he has a fake eye.
Right. Okay, similar transaction evidence both in federal and state courts. You can use prior bad acts that are similar to prove, help prove the motive, the scheme, or the plan. That's the language. I'll be honest with you. In this case, I think in a lot of Georgia cases, this might have come into evidence. However, he was not charged in that case. He was never arrested in that case. So there's not really a conviction that can go into evidence. If he was convicted, it probably would have come in.
But what about a pattern of behavior?
That's what they're trying to show. But the laws, every state is a little different. If he had a conviction for that assault, it would have probably have come into evidence. No conviction, no arrest, it didn't come in. So his testimony was extremely limited.
Yeah.
And again, you know what? The jury's saying, why'd you guys put this guy up here? What are we doing here?
They wanted a visual. They wanted a visual of a guy with one eye.
I understand. They're trying to make the point.
Yeah.
But it's not in evidence, okay? It's not in evidence that he shot him in the eye.
But it's also, why do they tell guys, if you have a little bit of time and there's a case where, physical violence, what do you as an attorney say? Lose some weight. God, you don't want to look this imposing. Do not go to the gym.
Sure. Don't bulk up before a trial.
There are so many games. So they wanted a guy with one eye.
Tats.
They wanted a guy with one eye because they wanted you to see. This is an alleged friend who now goes around with one eye.
Right. However, it's not in evidence, and I'll go back to what Home Team said on his jury experience. There's going to be a juror in there, and there's 12 that's going to say, hey, wait a second. You folks over there, you're trying to assume something. The judge instructed us only to consider this case on the evidence from the witness stand or the documents and the jury charges provided to us.
Isn't a bigger problem who wants to be famous from the jury? Who wants to get the book deal? Who wants to be the first one on CNN? It's a new world order now.
I'm consistently amazed that within hours after a jury trial, six or seven of them are on television given what we did.
Are you not supposed to do that?
You can do it. No, you're released when you are released from jury duty.
Like these people for the teachers here locally, the school. Man, I got a story to tell.
Yeah, you can't take notes during a trial to be used for a book later on. You can't do things like that. So there are some you can't talk to people during a trial.
And you guys interview the jury.
Sometimes the most painful thing is when you win, you love talking to them because you want them to tell you how great you were. When you lose, it's just the worst, you know. And you'll spend a week on trial focusing on the weight of the Glock, and then some jurors say, yeah, you know, that wasn't all that important to us. You know, we were focused on something different. And you say, oh, my goodness, you know.
Ray Giudice, 680 The Fan legal expert. The Jonathan Taylor story with Alabama. Now, the woman has recanted her allegations against Jonathan Taylor, and she said that she fabricated the story because, made the whole thing up, because he might have been cheating on her. In the meantime, here's a guy who was getting a second chance, whether you like him or not, and you do have these charges pending, you know, here, felony charges pending in the state of Georgia. But to go falsely and accuse a man of something that he didn't do, now he may have still done it. We talked about this earlier. That may be the case. She may have just changed her story, you know, for whatever reason. What happens to her now moving forward?
Well, she's been charged with either obstruction of justice or false swearing or perjury. There's a number of charges in each state that this can come under. You almost never see this happen. Almost never. I've had many, many domestic charges, violence charges against my primarily male clients, primarily in the midst of a bad divorce. And those charges are either dismissed or resolved later on. And that initial warrant, you'd like to hang it up in the courtroom and say, you know, 6 months ago, you swore that this was the truth, and now we're here in trial and you're under oath, and that's not what you're saying, and you just don't see enough of that. Now, women's rights groups, and I understand in domestic violence groups, well, you're punishing the victims and you're sending a bad message out to other victims. You know, there's some argument to that, but if we assume that she did lie, at this point, we have no other choice but to assume that. She's admitted to lying now, and she's apparently going to face some consequences. Then I think the University of Alabama jumped the gun on this. I mean, they did not conduct a thorough investigation in this matter. They may have done so before they brought him on with the pending Georgia charges, but they certainly didn't wait enough time. I mean, I don't understand what the rush was. He had only been charged. He was only accused. He was not found guilty of anything. And within 72 hours or maybe less, he's terminated from the university. Now, does he have a cause of action against the university? Probably not. Maybe they may give him the rest of his academic scholarship and not play on the team. You can play on the team. That's up to the university whether or not he can play. So I think he might be a student there next year or somewhere else within the university system.
What repercussions could he have against her? Jawan Howard years ago.
He could sue her for malicious.
Sued an accuser. Absolutely. And I think she just finished paying him like 2 years ago because she falsely accused him of sexual assault.
You're right on. It's false arrest, malicious prosecution, where you intentionally had a man incarcerated, handcuffed, mugshot, and he now has economic ramifications. He's lost his scholarship. That has a value. He can go down tomorrow morning and file a lawsuit against her. Is that collectible? I don't know. But, you know, yes, absolutely. And you don't see enough of it.
680 The Fan, legal expert Ray Giudice joining us here in the studio. Ray, if folks would like to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
You know, I'm easy. 404-964-4185 is my cell. Or you can go to the 680 The Fan website. Go to my blog. Hit it. It'll link you to my webpage and gives you all my information.
All right, great. If you got troubles, get in touch with Ray Giudice. Ray, thanks for the insight this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Sweet.